توداي الصباحية، لبنان's negotiators head back. شو الأخبار؟ Negotiations بين لبنان وإسرائيل are entering a third round مع الceasefire expiring Sunday وإسرائيلي strikes still killing people in the south. Meanwhile, a surgeon in Tyre hasn't left his operating table since 1993 ولبنانese-led medical team just gave an 11-year-old girl a second chance at life. It's a Friday that asks a lot of you, but stick with us. Third round of Lebanon-Israel talks begins as ceasefire frays. The backstory. Lebanon and Israel have not had direct diplomatic contact for decades. Lebanon does not formally recognize Israel. The November 2024 ceasefire ended an intense escalation, but has been repeatedly violated. A new round of fighting resumed on March 2, 2026, and a second, shakier truce, declared April 17, has not held. Lebanon and Israel are meeting for a third round of direct negotiations this week. The talks come days before the current ceasefire framework expires Sunday, even as Israeli strikes killed at least 17 people on Wednesday and Thursday alone, including two children. Lebanon's delegation is led by diplomat Simon Cuddam, joined by the Lebanese ambassador to the U.S. and a newly added military attaché. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, present at the first two rounds, is in Beijing with Trump and will be replaced by advisor Michael Needham. The Lebanese side plans to present detailed maps documenting homes destroyed or razed since the 2024 ceasefire, and will push for enforcement before any broader agreement. Israeli officials, meanwhile, have floated goals ranging from Hezbollah disarmament to annexing or depopulating southern Lebanon. The talks have split Lebanon's leadership. President Aoun and PM Salam back direct negotiations, while Parliament Speaker Berri and Hezbollah prefer indirect talks. Saudi Arabia has been working behind the scenes to prevent that division from weakening Beirut's hand. What to watch? Whether Washington pressures Israel to enforce a ceasefire before Sunday's deadline, or whether the talks collapse under the weight of ongoing strikes, will define what leverage, if any, Lebanon carries into the next round. A doctor who won't leave. Surgery under fire in South Lebanon. Surgeon Ibrahim Faraj has remained at the Lebanese-Italian hospital in Tyre through every major conflict since 1993, including the current war, despite holding Italian citizenship, having family abroad, and receiving offers to leave. The WHO documented a cumulative toll of 2,586 killed and 8,020 injured in Lebanon from March 2 to April 30, with 103 health workers killed and 234 injured in attacks on the health sector, 16 hospitals damaged and 3 fully closed. Human Rights Watch documented 3 Israeli attacks on medical facilities it described as apparent war crimes, including a strike that killed 14 paramedics on October 4, 2024. Faraj describes triage as the war's cruelest test. It is not easy to walk among the victims to decide who goes to the operating room and who remains waiting. How do you remain healthy when you unintentionally differentiate between members of an injured family? The bigger picture. The pattern of strikes on ambulances, hospitals, and first responders documented across this conflict is putting the practical enforceability of medical protections under international humanitarian law to one of its starkest tests in decades. Lebanese-led team achieves cancer breakthrough for an 11-year-old with no options left. A medical team led by Lebanese doctors Wasim and Zain Medlich, working with European specialists from Italy and Spain, achieved significant improvement in an 11-year-old girl with advanced bone sarcoma, a rare malignant tumor, after intensive chemotherapy, limb-sparing surgery, and 3 lung operations had all been exhausted. The team combined cryoablation, using precision probes to destroy tumors locally, with dual immunotherapy, nivolumab and ipilimumab, triggering what is known as a systemic immune response that attacks cancer cells throughout the body. Within a short follow-up period, results showed clear radiological improvement, reduced tumor size, lower pain severity, and positive immune response indicators. The team has since begun applying the protocol in several Arab countries. Why it matters, a Lebanon-originated treatment protocol for cases classified as medically hopeless, developed and already being exported regionally, is a rare piece of good news from a country's health infrastructure is simultaneously under strain from multiple crises. Moving on to quick hits. Buried twice, mourned once. Since March 2nd, at least 91 people have been interred as wadia, temporary graves in Sidon's Hadat Saida Cemetery, because Israeli strikes make transporting the dead to their home villages too dangerous. Families pay around $200 in Shuefa to hold a plot until the war ends. Hale draws the line. Former U.S. Ambassador David Hale told MTV that most people seeking stability in Lebanon now understand Hezbollah's disarmament is a central part of the process, stating plainly that there cannot be a militia performing the role of the Lebanese state. Ceasefire or collapse. As the first session of direct talks opened at the U.S. State Department, Parliament Speaker Berri warned that without a genuine ceasefire, everything will collapse, while Israeli Ambassador Leiter said a truce is in the works, but Israel will under no circumstances allow Hezbollah to rearm. Hezbollah's impossible math. Lelong today's analysis finds Hezbollah squeezed between opposing direct negotiations and maintaining morale among fighters and displaced supporters.
Naeem Qasem's message to fighters on Tuesday was timed deliberately on the eve of the Washington talks. Nearly 2 million pills, one van. The internal security forces seized 1.81 million Captagon tablets, packed into 17 large barrels, from a vehicle in the Baalbek area, and separately found a production machine and 700 kilograms of raw chemical compounds hidden in a cave nearby. In international news, Iran seizes floating armory ship in Gulf of Oman as regional tensions simmer. Iranian military personnel seized the Honduras-flagged vessel Hui Chuan in the Gulf of Oman, according to maritime risk management company Vanguard. The ship, which stores weapons for security firms protecting against pirate attacks, was last tracked 70 kilometers northeast of Fujairah in the UAE before being directed toward Iranian waters. Separately, an Indian-flagged vessel, the Haji Ali, reportedly sank off the coast of Oman following a suspected explosion caused by a drone or missile. All crew members were rescued by Omani authorities and transferred to Diba port. The situation in the Strait of Hormuz was raised during Thursday's Trump-Xi talks in Beijing. The White House said Xi expressed China's opposition to militarization of the strait, with both sides agreeing it must remain open to support the free flow of energy. Zooming out, two maritime incidents in the Gulf of Oman in the same 48-hour window, one seizure, one sinking, underscore how the waterway carrying a significant share of global energy supplies remains a live pressure point in the broader regional standoff. UN sounds alarm as U.S. deportees face chain expulsions from Equatorial Guinea. UN human rights experts issued a rare public appeal urging Equatorial Guinea to halt plans to re-deport U.S. asylum seekers to their home countries, warning that their life would be in danger. The U.S. paid Equatorial Guinea $7.5 million to accept third country nationals who had been granted legal protections against expulsion. At least 28 deportees sent to Equatorial Guinea held valid U.S. immigration protections, including survivors of torture and LGBTQ+ individuals. At least one man persecuted for his sexual orientation had already been refouled to his home country and is in hiding, according to his lawyers. A Colombian woman deported separately to the Democratic Republic of Congo, a country that had refused to accept her, was also ordered returned to the U.S. by a federal judge who ruled the deportation was likely illegal. She had developed serious medical complications while detained in Kinshasa. The bigger picture, the legal challenges piling up against third-country deportation agreements, from UN appeals to federal court orders, are testing the outer limits of how far the Trump administration's mass deportation framework can stretch before binding international and domestic legal constraints push back. Xi warns Trump that Taiwan dispute could send ties down a dangerous path. Chinese President Xi Jinping told Donald Trump during Thursday's Beijing summit that Taiwan independence and cross-strait peace are irreconcilable as fire and water, delivering Beijing's starkest direct warning to a U.S. president on the issue in recent years. The U.S. officially takes no position on Taiwan sovereignty under its One China policy, but is bound by the Taiwan Relations Act to provide the island with the means to defend itself. Only 12 countries currently maintain formal diplomatic ties with Taipei. Taiwan's government, which elects its own leaders and controls its own military, passport, and currency, maintains that Beijing has no right to speak for or represent it, and a formal declaration of independence would require approval from at least 75% of lawmakers plus a national referendum. What to watch? Whether Thursday's direct exchange produces any shift in U.S. arms sales policy toward Taiwan, the sharpest practical lever between Washington and Beijing on the issue, will be the clearest signal of where the relationship actually stands after the summit. And now, Rirhik. Besides that, Gibran belongs to Lebanon. Lebanon's culture minister, Hassan Salame, formally requested that New York City correct a plaque at a new financial district project that labeled Gibran Khalil Gibran, Mikhail Naimi, and Ilya Abu Mahdi as Syrian writers. The ministry is pushing for the monument to identify them as Lebanese Americans, which it calls the historically accurate description. Sinner rewrites history. Italian world number one Yannick Sinner broke Novak Djokovic's all-time record of consecutive wins at ATP Masters 1000 tournaments, reaching 32 straight victories at the Italian Open. He has now won 5 consecutive Masters 1000 titles and is 2 wins away from becoming the first Italian men's singles champion in Rome in 50 years. Madonna, Shakira, BTS, together. FIFA announced the first FIFA World Cup halftime show will be co-headlined by Madonna, Shakira, and BTS at MetLife Stadium on July 19th. Proceeds go to the FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund, which aims to raise $100 million for children's education and football access worldwide. The Nazi painting speaks up. An heir of Dutch SS commander Hendrik Seyfert contacted art detective Arthur Brand after discovering his family possessed a looted painting by Tone Kelder, part of the 1,100-work Goudsticker collection plundered during World War II, and the current owner says the family is now discussing returning it to the rightful heirs. Have a great Friday, see you tomorrow. That's today's Sobahiyah. Share it with a friend.